Greg Lehman, a descendant of the Trelawley people of northeast Tasmania and a Hobart-based writer and researcher and member of TMAG's Aboriginal Advisory Council, to take a look at your Indigenous Tasmania figures from our history. And now, Greg, normally in the studio with us today, he comes to you from Canberra. Greg, how are you going?
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good. How's Canberra today?
Oh, Canberra's lovely. It's overcast and still a little bit dark up here.
Excellent. Well, hopefully you can hire a bike while you're out there and have a good time. Now, I guess we're going from the departing chieftain of Egypt, who we've been talking about all this morning, to a different kind of chieftain from Tasmania. Who are we talking about today?
Well, Rick, I thought we'd talk about Manalagena, who was probably one of the most famous of the chiefs, or they called themselves clever men, in Tasmania. And it's interesting, I'm sure if you did a talk back and asked your listeners to come up with the names of famous Indian chiefs, you would have many, many people ringing in with names like Sitting Bull and Co-Chiefs and Crazy Horse. But if you were to ask the same question about the Aboriginal tribes, the Indigenous tribes, the people who lived right here where we live, very few people would know these names. And I think, you know, something's gone a little bit wrong in our history when we know a lot more about Indigenous people from the other side of the world than we do about the people who lived right here. So
it's interesting, isn't it, though, that the role that film plays in that. We probably know a lot of those Indian chiefs because of portrayals of them about which Native Americans might not be so happy now from Westerns. That process of fictionalizing characters that helps people learn them and their cultural memory may not be such a positive portrayal as well. But how was a clever man different from a chief? What was the role of the clever man in the tribe?
Well, the clever man wasn't just a political leader. He was also someone who provided advice and leadership, was often a shaman, so somebody who was in touch with the spirit world. And Manalagena was quite famous as having what he called his devil, and his devil lived apparently in his the right side of his chest. And when he was travelling around with George Augustus Robinson, who had been employed by the government to remove Tasmania Aboriginal people from their land, Robinson would ask Manalagena where he could find particular tribes of people, and Manalagena would consult his devil, who would tell him where they were. The funny thing was that Robinson quite often was led round and round in circles and didn't find the people that Manalagena was saying he knew, or his devil knew where they were. And I suspect that this devil was actually quite a devil and was playing tricks on Robinson.
Why did Manalagena get involved with Robinson in helping him round up the tribes and moving them to Flinders Island? Was he trying to distract Robinson, or did he have a belief that that would be a positive thing for his people?
I think things changed as time went by. Initially, Manalagena was known to the colonial authorities as a guerrilla fighter. I think one of the early records of him was he raided John Batman's house to free four women and a young child who'd been captured by Batman. He moved from being a resistance fighter to working more as a diplomat and an ambassador, and I think this change happened as the Black War in Tasmania continued on, and it became obvious to Manalagena and other people like Truganini that trying to fight the British was a losing battle. They were outnumbered, and they had to find some other ways of finding peace.
And what role did he play, do you think? Because we heard the story of Truganini, who played a great diplomatic role in that process of rounding people up and talking to people. So what role did Manalagena have in that process?
Well, he played a very significant role. He travelled with Truganini and Robinson around Tasmania, and over a period of 3 or 4 years, they walked almost the whole coastline of Tasmania. They travelled along the south coast, and up the southwest coast to Macquarie Harbour, throughout the northeast into the Central Highlands. And the objective was to contact all of the Aboriginal people who were remaining on their land to try and convince them to give up their war of resistance against the British and to agree to some of the treaties that Robinson was offering them. Unfortunately, those treaties weren't honoured, and in the end, people were removed from Tasmania to Wyabalena on Flinders Island.
And what was Manalagena's fate?
Well, it was in many ways it was very tragic. He at the end of this great quest around Tasmania to contact all of the remaining people, he was taken by Robinson on a boat and taken to Wyabalena. And I think he realised at this stage that his diplomatic quest had failed, because Robinson had promised that they would be allowed to stay on their land and be protected from aggression from settlers and provided with the things that they needed. But he realised that that they'd been double-crossed and he was being taken away to a prison from which he would never be allowed to return. And there's a very sad account of him standing on the deck of the vessel that was taking him to Wyabalena, looking back at his country and cutting off his hair as expression of grief. And he died only a month or so after he arrived at Flinders Island.
Manalagena, chieftain, diplomat, guerrilla warrior. Greg Lehman, thank you for that story this morning.
Thanks, Rick.